This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to give feedback to a remote employee without losing tone or context. Keep your message clear, warm, and actionable across any distance. In short, after reading this, you will be able to deliver remote employee feedback that is clear, warm, and actionable without losing tone or context. Choose the right channel for the weight of the message before you say a word. Prepare specific examples so your feedback lands with clarity, not confusion. Always invite a response and follow up in writing to close the loop. Definition: remote employee feedback is the structured practice of delivering observations, praise, or corrective guidance to a team member who's not physically present with you, using digital tools while preserving tone, clarity, and context across the distance between you. You send the message. You feel good about it. It is honest, considered, well-meant. Then nothing comes back. Or what comes back is defensive, confused, or hurt in a way you did not intend. You read it back and cannot see the problem. That is the quiet cost of remote employee feedback done without a proper process. Here is the truth of it. Most people struggle here not because they lack care, but because the tools we use strip out the very things that make feedback human. The warmth in your voice, the pause after a difficult point, the small nod that says, "I believe in you." Text removes all of that. Email flattens it. Even a video call can feel hollow if you have not prepared. The deeper problem is not the technology. It is that we treat remote feedback the same way we treat face-to-face feedback, and those two things require different preparation, different structure, and different follow-through. In this guide, you'll get a clear, practical process for delivering remote employee feedback that keeps tone and context intact at every stage. You can begin applying it tomorrow. If you want to explore how tone shapes your written communication more broadly, that article is worth reading alongside this one. Why remote feedback is harder than it looks. Most managers know that giving feedback matters. Very few have a system for doing it well at a distance. Knowing something is important, and being able to execute it consistently are two very different things. Here are the specific difficulties that get in the way. Text strips out tone. A sentence that sounds supportive when spoken can read as curt or dismissive in a message. You do not get the chance to soften or clarify in real time, and the other person fills the gap with their own assumptions. Context disappears between sessions. In an office, a quick comment in the corridor gives feedback a setting. Remotely, feedback arrives without that surrounding context, and the employee has no way to anchor it to a shared moment. Silence gets misread. When you do not give feedback regularly, remote employees often assume the worst. Silence does not feel like neutrality. It feels like neglect or hidden disappointment. Timing feels arbitrary. A feedback message arriving at 7 p.m. on a Tuesday creates a different emotional reaction than the same message at 10 a.m. on a Wednesday. Remote workers feel the timing in ways office workers often do not. The feedback loop closes too slowly. Without physical presence, you cannot tell if the message landed. You may not learn it missed the mark until the same issue surfaces again 2 weeks later. Managers avoid it entirely. This is the most common problem I see. The difficulty feels big enough that the conversation never happens at all, and the gap grows. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, the purpose of this feedback. Know whether you're correcting behavior, reinforcing strength, or doing both. A session without a clear purpose meanders, and a remote employee who cannot read your face has no way to reorient the conversation. Write one sentence that captures your intent before you open any communication channel. Number two, the right medium for the message. Not all feedback deserves the same channel. Sensitive or corrective feedback requires a live video call, not a written message. Positive reinforcement can live in text, but even then, a brief video note adds warmth that words alone cannot carry. Deciding this before you reach out is not a small thing. It is foundational. Explore best practices for virtual meeting communication to prepare for the call itself. Number three, a specific example ready to use. Vague feedback confuses people at the best of times. Remotely, without the visual cues that help someone track your meaning, vagueness is genuinely harmful. Have one clear, observable example in front of you before the conversation starts. Not a general impression. A real moment you can describe. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Choose the right channel for the conversation. The channel you choose sends a message before you say a single word. This matters more in remote settings than anywhere else. If the feedback is corrective, developmental, or emotionally weighted, use a live video call. If it is positive and light, a voice message or a brief written note works well. The mistake most managers make is defaulting to text for everything because it feels less confrontational. It is not less confrontational. It is more, because the person reads it alone with no way to ask for clarification. Assess the weight of the feedback before choosing a medium. Ask yourself, how would I feel receiving this in a text message? Schedule a video call with enough lead time that the employee can prepare, but not so much that they spend 2 days dreading it. For positive feedback, consider a short voice note or video message. Hearing your tone makes praise land differently than reading it. Never use a synchronous text for feedback that involves performance concerns, missed expectations, or interpersonal issues. Example: you need to address the fact that a team member has been submitting reports late for 3 consecutive weeks. You send a calendar invite for a video call the next morning with a subject line that reads, "Quick catch up, 15 minutes. That is enough notice to avoid alarm. On the call, you have the specific dates in front of you and a clear, single point to make. Choosing the right channel is not a small logistical decision. It is the first act of respect in the feedback process. Step 2. Prepare your specific example before the call. This step separates feedback that changes behavior from feedback that creates confusion. You must prepare before you speak. Remote employees cannot see the stack of notes on your desk or the concerned expression you have worn all week. They arrive at a conversation with less context than you have. Your specific example bridges that gap. It grounds abstract feedback in something real, observable, and fair. Write down the specific situation you are referring to, the date, the deliverable, the behavior you observed. Separate what you observed from how you interpreted it. The report arrived 4 days late is an observation. You do not care about deadlines is an interpretation. Lead with the observation. Prepare one or two questions you will ask the employee so the conversation becomes a dialogue, not a verdict. If you are giving positive feedback, prepare an equally specific example. Vague praise "you are doing great" is nearly useless. Specific praise "the way you handled the client call on Thursday showed real judgment" is something a person can build on. This kind of preparation also protects the employee. When you arrive with specifics, you arrive with fairness. That builds trust over time, especially in teams where people rarely share physical space. If you want a structured method for preparing this kind of example-based feedback, the SBVI method for team feedback gives you a solid framework for exactly this. Preparation is not about controlling the conversation. It is about respecting the person you are about to speak with. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Open the conversation with intent and safety. How you open a feedback conversation determines whether the other person can actually hear what you say next. Get this step wrong, and the most accurate, well-prepared feedback in the world will land on closed ears. Remotely, this is even more critical. The employee cannot see your body language as they walk in. They have been sitting alone, perhaps anxious, since they got your calendar invite. Your first 30 seconds matter enormously. Start by naming your intent plainly. "I wanted to have this conversation because I respect your work and I want to give you something useful. Acknowledge the strangeness of the remote format if it is relevant. I know these video calls can feel a bit formal, so I will keep this conversational." Do not bury the purpose. If the conversation is about a specific concern, say so early. People relax more when they know what the conversation is actually about. Avoid opening with general praise followed by a sharp pivot to criticism. The person will stop trusting your praise entirely. Script: "Thanks for making time. I wanted to talk through something specific with you. And I want you to know I'm coming at this as someone who wants to see you do well. I have one thing to raise, and then I genuinely want to hear your perspective on it." Once you have said that, the employee knows 3 things: this is specific, it is not catastrophic, and their voice matters. That is the ground you need before anything else can grow. Step 4. Deliver the feedback clearly and without ambiguity. This is the core of the conversation. Many managers often feedback so much that the actual message disappears. Others deliver it so bluntly that the relationship takes the damage. Neither serves the employee. Clear feedback names the specific behavior, describes the impact, and leaves no room for the person to wonder what you actually meant. Remotely, without the physical cues that help someone follow a winding conversation, clarity is not just helpful, it is essential. State the specific observation in one or two sentences. In the last three Friday reports, the data summaries were missing. This meant the client team had to follow up before they could act on the information. Describe the impact on the team, the client, or the work. Keep this factual, not emotional. Pause after delivering the core point. Do not rush to fill the silence. Give the person a moment to absorb what you have said. Avoid stacking multiple feedback points in a single conversation. One clear point, fully understood, is worth more than 5 points half heard. Use plain language throughout. If you would not say it to a friend over coffee, find a simpler way to say it. After you deliver the feedback, watch the person's face if you are on video. Confusion, surprise, or distress are signals to slow down, not speed up. The feedback has not landed until the person understands it. Understanding comes before agreement. Step 5. Invite a response and listen without defending. This step is where most feedback conversations either build real trust or quietly destroy it. You have said your piece. Now your job is to stop talking and start listening. Many managers deliver feedback well and then undo it entirely by defending every point the moment the employee responds. The employee feels cross-examined rather than heard. Remotely, where the relationship has less daily texture to absorb a difficult conversation, this damage is harder to repair. After delivering your main point, ask a direct open question. What is your perspective on this? Let the employee speak fully before you respond. Do not interrupt, even to agree. If they push back, acknowledge what you have heard before you respond. I hear you saying the deadline moved. Tell me more about that. If the response changes your understanding of the situation, say so plainly. This is not weakness. It is the mark of a manager who can be trusted. Script. I have said what I wanted to say. Now I genuinely want to hear from you. What was your experience of that situation? Then wait. The silence on a video call feels long. Let it be long. The employer is organizing their thoughts, and your patience is part of the message you are sending. If they offer context that changes the picture, adjust. If they confirm what you suspected, move together toward what happens next. You earn the right to be heard again in the future by listening fully right now. For more on how this kind of dial connects to how feedback loops boost team synergy, that article extends this idea well. Step 6. Agree on what happens next. Feedback without a clear next step is a conversation without a conclusion. The employee leaves the call knowing something went wrong, but not knowing how to make it right. That uncertainty does more damage than the original issue. This step turns a feedback conversation into a practical plan. It does not need to be complicated. One clear agreed action, owned by a specific person with a realistic time frame, is enough. Before the call ends, ask directly, what do you think would help you here? Together, agree on one concrete action. Write it down during the call so you both have a record. Set a check-in point. Not a follow-up review or a performance conversation, just a brief, low-pressure moment to see how things are going. Confirm the employee understands and agrees with the next step. Ask them to say it back to you in their own words. End the call on a note of genuine confidence. I am glad we talked about this. I believe you can get this right. Agreeing on next steps together respects the employee's capability and their autonomy. They are not receiving a verdict. They are participating in solving a problem. That distinction matters enormously for motivation and for trust, especially on teams where people work alone most of the day. Step 7. Follow up in writing after the conversation. The conversation was the main event. The written follow-up is what makes it stick. Without it, the specifics blur, memory drifts, and the agreed actions lose their weight. Your written follow-up does not need to be long. 2 or 3 short paragraphs is enough. What it must do is reflect the conversation accurately, confirm the agreed action, and reinforce your confidence in the person. Send the follow-up within 24 hours of the conversation, while it is still fresh for both of you. Summarize the main point of the feedback in one sentence. Not the full history. The core message. State the agreed next step clearly. Include any time frame you discussed. Close with a sentence that reflects your belief in the person. I'm looking forward to seeing how you approach this. Do not use the written message to add new feedback points that you did not raise on the call. The follow-up confirms what was said. It does not expand the conversation. A good follow-up email also protects both parties. It creates a shared record that removes ambiguity and prevents the kind of "I thought you said" confusion that corrodes remote working relationships over time. For practical guidance on writing this kind of message, follow-up emails that reinforce accountability covers the structure in detail. Adapting this process for asynchronous and hybrid remote teams. Teams where people work across different time zones require specific adjustments. When a live video call at a shared hour is not always possible, the risk of tone and context being lost increases significantly. Lean even harder on preparation. When your feedback will arrive asynchronously, perhaps as a recorded video note or a detailed written message, you've no real-time opportunity to correct a misreading. Prepare more thoroughly, not less, and read your message aloud before you send it. Use recorded video for sensitive feedback. A short video message, even 2 or 3 minutes long, carries tone in a way that text simply cannot. The employee can see your face, hear your voice, and pause to rewatch if needed. This is far closer to a real conversation than any written message, even a careful one. Build in a structured response window. When you send an asynchronous feedback message, tell the person explicitly that you want to hear their response and give them a specific window. Please send me your thoughts before Thursday. Without this, the feedback can feel one-directional and final. Schedule a live call for any follow-up. Even if the initial feedback is delivered asynchronously, the response and the agreed next steps should happen in a live conversation wherever possible. Do not let the entire feedback cycle live in text. The GROW method for team feedback planning is especially useful for structuring that live follow-up conversation. The core process does not change for asynchronous teams, only the timing and the channel shift. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: sending written feedback when the message carries real emotional weight. Why it happens: text feels safer and less confrontational than a live call. What to do instead? If you would feel nervous delivering the feedback in person, that is exactly when you need a live video call, not a written message. The mistake: giving vague feedback dressed up as kindness, such as "you could push yourself a bit more." Why it happens: specific feedback feels riskier because it is harder to walk back. What to do instead? Name the specific behavior and the specific impact. Vagueness is not kindness. It is an obstacle to improvement. This is a principle explored further in How to Give Feedback That Strengthens Team Synergy. The mistake: delivering the feedback and then defending every point the moment the employee responds. Why it happens: pushback feels like a challenge and the instinct is to hold the ground. What to do instead? Listen fully before you respond. Acknowledge what you heard before you clarify or correct. The mistake: waiting too long to give feedback because the remote format feels awkward. Why it happens: the barrier to scheduling a call feels higher than it would for a quick desk visit. What to do instead? Treat the feedback conversation as a standing professional practice, not a special event to be dreaded and delayed. The mistake: skipping the written follow-up because the conversation felt like it went well. Why it happens: a good conversation creates a false sense that everything is now understood. What to do instead? Send the follow-up regardless of how the call felt. Memory fades and details blur for both parties by the end of the week. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each cycle. I have identified the specific behavior or outcome I need to address. I have chosen a live video call for any corrective or sensitive feedback. I have prepared at least one specific, observable example before the call. I have written one sentence that captures my intent for this conversation. I have scheduled the call with appropriate notice, not so urgent it causes alarm. I have prepared at least one open question to invite the employee's perspective. I named my intent clearly in the first 60 seconds of the conversation. I paused after delivering the feedback and gave the employee space to respond. I listened fully before defending or clarifying any point. I agreed on one clear next step before ending the call. I sent a written follow-up within 24 hours confirming what was discussed. I set a check-in point to review progress without turning it into a second performance review. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a process for delivering remote employee feedback that keeps tone intact preserves context and builds trust rather than eroding it. You do not need a perfect relationship or a perfect tool. You need a repeatable method. Choose your channel based on the weight of the message, not your personal comfort level. Prepare a specific example before every feedback conversation. Without exception, open with clear intent so the employee knows what the conversation is actually about. Deliver feedback in plain language, one point at a time, and then pause. Listen to the response fully before defending any part of what you said. Agree on one concrete next step and confirm the employee can state it back to you. Send a written follow-up within 24 hours to confirm what was said and what happens next. If you want to build a broader feedback culture across your team, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it is the natural place to go next. And if you want to sharpen your written communication so that your follow-up messages land with the right tone every time, tone in email communication will serve you well. For teams that want a structured method for turning remote employee feedback into measurable growth, the SPVI method article gives you exactly that. Remote work did not make feedback harder because people changed. It made feedback harder because the tools changed. Master the tools, protect the humanity, and the conversation is still the same one it has always been, one person trusting another enough to tell them the truth. Frequently asked questions. What is remote employee feedback and why does it matter? Remote employee feedback is the practice of delivering observations, corrections, and praise to team members who are not physically present with you. Without shared space and body language, tone and context are easily lost. Getting this right is essential for trust, performance, and connection on distributed teams. How do you give feedback to a remote employee without it feeling cold? Use live video whenever the feedback is sensitive or significant. Prepare your key points in advance, speak in specific examples rather than generalities, and invite the employee to respond before the call ends. Warmth comes from preparation and presence, not from proximity. What is the best way to deliver remote employee feedback in writing? Written feedback works well for reinforcing spoken conversations, not replacing them. Keep written messages short, specific, and anchored to observable behavior. Always follow a feedback conversation with a brief written summary, so the employee has a clear record of what was discussed and agreed. How often should you give feedback to remote employees? Remote employees need feedback more frequently than an office staff, not less. Without casual corridor moments and visible cues, silence feels like neglect or disapproval. Aim for at least one structured feedback conversation every 2 weeks, with brief check-ins between them to maintain connection and clarity. How do you avoid misreading tone when giving remote employee feedback? Avoid relying on text or email for any feedback that carries emotional weight. On video calls, speak slowly and clearly. Name your intent explicitly at the start, and watch the other person's face for signs of confusion or distress. Ask them to reflect back what they heard before closing the conversation. What common mistakes do managers make with remote feedback delivery? The most common mistake is sending written feedback when a conversation is needed. Others include giving vague praise without specific examples, delivering criticism without checking for understanding, and failing to follow up after the initial conversation. Each of these erodes trust and leaves the employee without a clear path forward. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickforum.com to get your copy.